Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Out of paper, out of stock, there's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed, call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and creepy foster brother slash roommate, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James, traveling salesman.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
Top of the morning to ya. Woohoo! Green M&Ms! Nature's Viagra! Two of my favorite joke areas combined. It'll be a good day.
Wait a minute. Do you guys, I don't get
what he's talking. I will see you up there in Viagra Falls.
Wait, I don't get what he's talking about there. I'm sorry. What is his two favorite joke areas? Green M&Ms, Nature's Viagra. I don't get what, I know that it's Michael mixing things up, but what, do you guys understand what he's talking about?
Not really. Maybe it's.
I mean,
if he's referencing anything by saying green M&Ms,
penis boner based humor.
Yeah, I think that's one topic, and then I think being able to make jokes about it being like an Irish holiday is the other topic. Maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I get you.
Well, candy based humor.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
With
every week we get together and tackle issues like this and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office.
Hard news.
This week we'll have our main topic, and then we'll go into a short conference room and some listener provided trivia, as we do.
But also a tiny ordinary things.
But real quick, a little disclaimer about the episode today. We had another episode banked to release today, but we're mm-hmm. switching it up at the last minute here.
I think we have some collective trauma as a show from not doing Kevin for episode 69.
Yeah, that's right.
And the blowback that we got.
People were honestly upset.
Completely deserved blowback that we got for not releasing Kevin is 69. We think we did him as like episode, what, 77?
Yeah, that was our right, wait. That was our wait. They're lithium. That was that kind of a comeback.
That's so good.
That is the most perfect comparison.
That's right.
Wait.
So
they're lithium.
So anyways, because this episode is coming out on St. Patrick's Day, today we are talking about St. Paddy's Day.
Right. And
normally we wouldn't follow up an episode on individual episode. We wouldn't do two of our episodes that focus on a single episode back to back. There we go. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to celebrate the moment.
That's right.
Because we can't really celebrate the day as we normally would.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. So today we are talking about St. Patrick's Day, season 6, episode 19, directed by Randall Einhorn, written by Jonathan Hughes. And this episode,
Jonathan Hughes getting back in the game.
I don't think it's him. He's not even.
I assume it's not. Just that John Hughes.
Not that John Hughes.
I assume
Hughes.
That's why he goes by Jonathan Hughes.
Yeah. And it aired back on March 11th in 2010. This is a great episode. It feels so long for being. And it's only a 22-minute episode, but gosh, a lot happens.
I had the exact same realization. It felt like a 40-minute episode.
It really does, especially with, we'll get to it, but the main storylines here are I've got five here, I think. Michael tries to make Joe like him, right? Dwight tries to make Jim feel guilty about not being around for his newborn baby. Andy and Aaron have a date and go to her house, which I think is definitely a part where it's like, man, that really makes the episode feel so long that we go into a another.
There's location. A lot of location changes, yeah.
Yeah, and then we finish up with the bar at the end. We got Daryl gets a sort of promotion, and also nobody wants to work late because it's St. Patty's Day, but Joe is in the office keeping them there late. And we still get, yeah, at the end, we get everyone at the bar. So yeah, it's a big one.
I do like that it feels kind of mundane. It's kind of low key, you know, like there aren't a ton of huge changes. I mean, this is in season six where we have Niagara and the delivery. And I think it's nice to have an episode where they're just kind of in the office having the smaller storylines, I guess.
Yeah, it feels low key until the end when we get Meredith, Todd Packer, and Michael in a dry hump train at the bar.
also rewatching this at the very end, you just see Dwight starting to sidle up drunkenly.
Yeah.
There was a few. I think I counted like three or four different things I hadn't noticed before in this watch through. You know, while I put my academic lenses on to watch, I sometimes see new things. And this one had several of those moments.
I agree.
Which we'll get to. Which happens at the bar.
I want to throw out one right now because it's just in the cold open, I'm pretty sure.
Fine.
Is that there are allusions in the show to Ryan having no real friends. There's one at the beginning.
A friend.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, that's one. and then a high school. But at the beginning here, you get Kelly is like, well, I don't see why you and I can't just go out together. And he's like, no, it's St. Patty's Day. People go out in groups. And she's like, well, why don't you call your friends? And he's like, I don't know why you're being so weird about this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just such a throwaway. And then you get Meredith jumping in with like no fighting, you know, kind of steals the show with her whole like no kids, not today.
That is, I mean, we hear when Ryan talks about when he's talking to Michael early on in the show about like, I go to lots of parties. I get a feeling maybe those are some business school friends and they were temporary because, yeah, we don't really, for someone who claims to be a social butterfly like Ryan, he sure doesn't seem to have any friends.
Mm-hmm. Would you fake the plus five all guys?
Yeah.
Is that something you would fake?
If you wanted people to think that you had a bunch of friends, you might.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyways.
It's all guys.
It's not much of a cold open in this episode. I don't know if there's anything else you guys want to say about it. I don't even know if you can call it a cold open. It just kind of introduces that it's St. Patrick's Day and everyone's excited. Everyone's got
I do love the voiceover of Kevin in the full green suit versus Oscar's slightly green tie. The perfect comparison between the two of them. Yeah.
Even Jim's got, I saw a little green in his tie.
Yeah, he's got the green stripe in the tie.
I believe we have a listener in Scranton, or several. Yeah, they talk about it being a big deal there, and I'm not familiar with the demographic makeup of Scranton, but I could assume there's a large Irish-American population there.
Mm-hmm.
I do love that this is a holiday episode that only happens once in the whole series, that there isn't like there is a tradition of holiday episodes around Christmas and Valentine's Day and
Halloween.
Things like that. Yeah. Halloween, no Thanksgiving episode, which is notable. And no then, but it is fun that you get a St. Patrick's Day kind of celebration for one episode in season six.
Did this air on a St. Patrick's Day?
March 11th. So,
okay. So the week-ish of
is
St. Patrick's Day on the same day every time, or is it the same like
I don't know how St. Patrick's Day works.
Is it not
it's always the 17th?
I think it is always the 17th. Okay. Yeah. I feel like there's some holidays that are a little bit rogue that they kind of shift based on the moons, and it's like, oh, it's always the second Saturday of whatever. Anyway,
this makes us look so good.
Hey, at least we knew that we were doing an episode on St. Patrick's Day.
We can't, we have no room left in our brains for things like this. It's just all office trivia. But hey.
And even then.
Even then. Okay.
And then. We're terrible. Well, Sean and I are terrible.
We're terrible at it.
Imagine our life filled with office life. Knowledge and we're that bad at trivia.
Should we jump to the first storyline with Michael and Joe?
Yeah, let's jump to the first storyline. Let's talk about Michael and Joe. Michael, so we get Joe Bennett in the office. Of course, this is, you know, all the Sabre. This is Sabre has recently bought Dunder Mifflin. Michael comes in to her office. She says, "Good morning, sweetheart." He says, "Good morning, honey pile." And so begins this Michael trying to make Joe like him. He gives her a lump of coal in a glass case because buildings in Scranton are literally powered by coal. No. That is a good gift.
That is a good gift.
He can be so charming and so dumb at the same time.
Kind of what Jim says about the teapot to Pam. No, this is a great gift.
Hey, that's right. Yeah.
Scranton is literally powered by teapots.
But we get kind of a throwaway comment from Joe that anytime he's in Tallahassee, he's got a place to stay. And he turns to the camera and kind of gives it a look. And yeah, we find out later that he books several flights in just in case.
Yeah, that he comes on real strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Michael says it himself. When you work for Sabre, only one thing matters. And I don't care if you're a loser or if you practice bestiality. If Joe likes you, you are in. And I am in.
If you practice bestiality.
Yeah.
Some real Florida man stuff.
Yeah. What a jump. What a leap.
Joe holds a little town hall. She wants to hear what everyone sounds like. We get Daryl.
This is because it's her last day, right? And she's right. Like, I just want to check in with the troops before she takes off.
Yeah.
And she says, and she alludes to a typist inventing, you know, whiteout, liquid whiteout.
A lowly typist.
She really is a woman of status. But she, and that leads to Daryl's already got something locked and loaded, ready to go.
Yep.
Although, I should pull that back. Kevin comes up with a great idea, which is a suntan lotion soap. Just launches into just any idea.
Joe is incredibly patient. Listen, I mean, I would, for the most part, doesn't have to be
an antacid that you take once a month.
Man, Kevin is really an inventor.
How about once a year? Too big a pill to swallow.
Yeah, unlike Robert California, Joe Bennett does not fall to Kevin's brilliance.
We got to get Michael, like, not only is he just interrupting a lot, but he's also, like, coming in behind her and, like, saying things, like, in her ear. And she's just like...
It's very weird.
He really screws
okay, hush
up.
Now.
Okay, hush now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At first I was like, man, she really lays it on thick at the end, but she does give him several polite, like, all right.
Indicators.
Yeah. And she's had enough when he is talking about how, like, you know, there's a couple other flights, but there's only a few seats left, so we really got to pull the trigger. And she just goes, enough!
It's good.
And he just says, and he's just like, okay, everybody, just try to put on a brave face.
Yeah, everybody, yeah.
Are you okay?
No!
In the interest of full disclosure, is such a perfect line.
I'm so glad you said that. I hadn't caught that before. Because Office Quotes says full and the captions of the show say full. So at no point was the full disclosure caught by those transcriptions either.
I didn't know that. Oh, he says full disclosure?
He says full disclosure. Yeah.
Whoa, I've never caught that.
That was one of the things I caught this time.
Not even in my several rewatches today.
I always thought that was pretty clear, but I guess that, you know.
No. That's wild.
I went to look at, I put on captions and was like, yeah, they didn't even get it.
See, I don't know if I have trouble with the U vowel. Like I say bowl instead of, like if you're talking like a cow bowl.
Oh no, dude, it's pronounced bool. What are you talking about?
Buell.
I know that some people are like, no, it's bull.
What?
A ball.
Bull. Bull.
Are you talking about something you eat food out of?
No, I'm talking about a horned beast.
Oh, a bull.
Yeah.
A bull.
And you say bowl?
Yeah, you call it, yeah, it's a bowl.
Bull.
Bull. Okay. All right. Anyways.
Chicago Bulls.
Bull. Yeah. Chicago Bulls.
Yes, yeah, bull. Chicago Bulls. Yeah.
Okay.
Bull, bull crap.
Manute Bull. That's a bull.
And his son, Bull Bull.
Bull Bull.
All right. Anyways. So I love, so what's interesting about this storyline too is that like Michael wants to impress his boss and he thinks of like a lot of things besides just do your job. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it leads to, I guess we'll kind of talk about, since Daryl's story is so small, Daryl gets his promotion. He moves into Jim's old office, which appeared magically when Jim became a co-manager. And
which Gabe then appeared magically inside of when he's like, I put my stuff there and I'll clear it out as soon as possible.
Disappeared just as quickly.
Yeah. But we get Michael going in to ask Daryl, like, how did he impress Joe? And inappropriately suggests that, like, her family owes his family for once owning slaves or something like that. Mm-hmm. But Daryl keeps trying to tell him, like, I just, you know, came up with a good idea. And
you were there.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then finally he says, now, Mike, I'm going to have to ask you to leave so that I can learn about this tiny television, which is one of my favorite quotes from this episode.
Yeah, much like the shades of when he goes to do a resume and wants to know where Clippy is to help him build a resume.
Yeah, it's kind of a small it's not a lot happens for Daryl. Like, he doesn't appear in the episode all that much, but it is a big development for his character moving to the upstairs. Especially in season 7 when he interacts with the cast a lot more. It sets up the, in terms of his arc, it sets up the events of costume contest in season 7 when he has that idea for the warehouse people to sell on the road. And then it kind of leads to that disappointment when he doesn't get the manager job at the end. Because Joe loved you, is what Andy says, but you stopped pushing. Mm-hmm. So it is kind of like a big domino moment for Daryl's arc.
Yeah,
and I guess she leaves the warehouse to figure out who the foreman is going to be now.
Yeah,
down there, she's very.
Is he not the foreman anymore? It's not a real promotion.
Well, Val comes in.
Oh right.
But it does seem like she's willing to just sort of make. She's willing, like Joe Bennett, just trust her gut, and she's like, no, this is right. Sometimes she's right, Daryl. Sometimes she's wrong, D'Angelo. You just never know.
Or Nelly.
Yeah.
Or Nelly. Jeez. God.
Or Robert California.
Oof.
Need some bad
that's
calls.
That's the missing scene. Yeah. If there was an Office movie, I just want the trip when Robert California flies to Florida, talks to Joe Bennett, and gets her job.
Yeah.
Give me that whole movie. Really serious, just those two actors going head to head.
It's like awesome. A play. Yes. It's like 12 Angry Jurors or something.
A two-person play. Sometimes they switch roles.
I love it. Oh my God.
It is interesting to watch Joe and Michael kind of go back and forth in this episode, because Joe is yet another corporate figure to kind of rein in Michael. We've seen Jan, we've seen Ryan, we've seen David Wallace, and just kind of see the different ways that she interacts with him and the way that he tries to become her best friend is really funny, just compared to the way that he's treated every other corporate manager that he's had, or Charles, you know, for that matter. Just the way that he's invited himself over. Mm-hmm. You know, and responded to that kind offhand comment by Joe.
Right.
He's just absolutely desperate for any kind of affection in his life at this point. And just having Joe say, well, if you come down, you have a place to stay. That Like, he's off and running this entire episode.
Yeah.
No one's ever offered him a place to stay, apparently. No
one. Yeah. You've never had pad thai. He's never had someone offer him a place to stay.
Yeah.
And, like, this is, we've talked about in Company Picnic how I was like, oh, that's really the turning point for Michael when he kind of grows up and he becomes different. And, like, episodes like this are just sobering reminders that even into season 6 and 7, it's like, no, he's really not. Mm-hmm. At least when Holly's out of the equation, he's an absolute mess.
It is kind of interesting that, like, when this happens and when Joe goes back and Michael kind of says that statement that is, I've canceled my trip, but I'm looking forward to our professional relationship.
Yeah.
That's kind of the end of the buddy-buddy dynamic that Michael tries to have with Joe, which I think is really interesting for the rest of season 6 and all of season 7 until Michael's exit, because there isn't any more of Michael going back and forth with David Wallace or Michael's interactions with Jan or Ryan's interactions with Michael. Like, the interaction between Michael and corporate isn't really there anymore. They kind of remove it. And it kind of goes along the lines of, we've talked about how the show kind of goes from the branch in danger being downsized to being like the most profitable branch. And this is just part of that transition. And removing that corporate oversight kind of just lets them continue to be silly in the office.
I have a take, which is that I think Joe Bennett, the only reason she's staying late was just to get Michael to make that decision that he's going to send his staff home, because I think it's her last day in Scranton. I don't see why she would stay so late if it's her last day. She would have taken care of her business by then.
Mm-hmm.
What she wants to do is, she has that experience with Michael early on with the plane, and she's like, I need to leave here and make sure Michael is crystal clear on what I expect of him, and he needs to lead this branch, not me. And he spends so much time desperate for her affection, trying to please Joe Bennett, that I think she just stays late until he walks in and says, okay, that's it. I'm sending my staff home. They've done a good job. And she says, great. And then, like, once they, and like you said, then they have that, I look forward to our professional relationship. And she's like, I am too. I think
Michael?
The whole thing was just to get to that point with Michael.
I think that's a brilliant way to look at it, because, and
Sean,
maybe
thank
not.
Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate that.
I just think, like,
I look forward to your guys' professional relationship.
Me too.
I've never had one, but it's coming soon, and I'm excited.
Hey, you're ever in my neck of the woods, you got a place to stay.
Thanks, man.
But,
how about July 4th weekend? Sorry, go ahead.
But yeah, I think that that's interesting. Maybe not necessarily that she wants him to send them home, but, like, just to give him any chance to prove himself as a leader of that branch. Cause maybe she's, like, starting to think that she's going to remove him as manager or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think that's interesting, because it also occurred to me that if she's so afraid of getting sick or her dogs getting sick, then why does she stay so late after 2 sick employees have walked into her office? I'm sure that a lot of powerful people would just be like, I'm going to be at my hotel. Call me if you need anything.
I think, Alex, you make a really good point about Joe trying to see something from Michael. Because remember, when Joe first arrives at the branch, Jim and Michael are co-manager. And 2 guys doing 1 job, we're going to have to do something about that. So I don't care which one of you is the manager. Just stop meeting with me to talk about it. So clearly she doesn't have a ton of she doesn't see much, or she doesn't expect much maybe from Michael because of the way that first impression was. So it does, like, kind of stand to reason that she would just kind of wait it out and see what he does. And I mean, the other thing is that she's leaving, so where else is she gonna go? You know, she might have just stayed late anyway with Gabe and her dogs. But it was in, and there is that moment where she walks out to kind of stop everyone from leaving. So she definitely kind of knows what she's doing, I think. And I think she is waiting for Michael to make the call, because she's totally fine with it as soon as he does.
Dude, Gabe and those dogs just physically are so, such a funny thing to look at. They're so gangly, like the dogs. And then Gabe is, like, even more gangly.
It's like they're being walked by a tall skeleton.
Yeah. And then, like, Kathy Bates is, like, shorter and squatter. It's just a great overall unit that moves around together.
Ooh, you know what? He's tall and weak. She's small and strong. I'm doing an opposite thing. That's perfect.
What do you think Gabe and Kevin are talking about? Probably the
extremes of the human physique.
Okay. Now, I just want to say, to wrap up Michael and Joe, I just want to say, I just love the way that this storyline wraps up. That moment at the end, Michael gives a very professional reason. I'm thrilled with the work that they've done today, the quality and the quantity. And the way that he, I mean, he's just very professional in this moment. And it's kind of nice to see him do it so well. And there's a lot left unsaid. They just say, you know, Joe ends it with Michael. I look forward to that too. And he just kind of nods and walks out. I think it's a cool. What's interesting about this episode is there's a lot of like examples of professionalism and unprofessionalism. Mm-hmm. We see it in Daryl in the beginning, and then Michael figures it out at the end.
Yeah.
Dwight and Jim, though, really quick. Megadesk. We get Megadesk in this episode.
Megadesk.
I just want more. Megadesk.
Yeah, you can always count on Dwight / Rainn Wilson to identify their own stakes in the episode very clearly at some point.
And getting addicted to Megadesk was my own damn fault.
I love he's like surveillance, gaming, and work.
The surveillance thing really sets up his future as as building owner.
Yeah,
I know. And who's at this point? The surveillance. Who's giving him CTV feeds?
From what I can see, it looks like it's just the hallway in front of the elevator between Dunder Mifflin and Bob and Vance Refrigeration.
It's probably his own security camera that he brought, right? Because I don't think anyone's giving him access to that. Well,
you know, with all the weapons he's got hidden everywhere. I mean, yeah. Dwight really sees himself as head of security. I mean, Hank only has two traffic cones. You know, I mean, somebody's got to step in here and get the work done.
It's true.
Protect this office.
Yeah, I mean, the Megadesk story is just to serve the fact that Jim was gone. And now he's back. Dwight needs his desk again, which means he needs Jim gone, which means he needs to make Jim feel jealous about not being a father to his baby.
And then we get one of the rare instances of Dwight pranking Jim, kind of, this episode.
Just trying to mess with his head.
We do kind of get every now and then Dwight making some sort of a disturbance while Jim is on the phone. It's very similar to the paper shredder in, the pilot episode.
Oh, yeah.
Dwight has a tendency, Dwight's pranks against Jim tend to be far more destructive than Jim's pranks against Dwight overall.
Psychologically, yes.
And even to the office, if you want to add in stress relief and everything else. But he's messing with Jim's very existential self as a father and a man just to get his desk back. And he really goes deep on it.
Yeah, the real snowball is fear.
It's funny too that Jim acknowledges that it's kind of working. It's kind of like it kind of reminds me of the listening device in the Mallard thing, where Jim is not surprised, but he is surprised that it's, you know, no, I'm not surprised that Dwight tried to put a listening device in my Mallard. And then the flip is, of course, that's not where the device is.
Yeah, he's not.
And the flip here is that it's actually kind of working. The appeals to Jim's fatherhood. I'll tell you what happened to me.
I like that Andy gets involved on it, unknowingly.
Rig it, get goo.
Rig it, get goo.
Yeah,
Sorry, I was just thinking about that. Dwight thinking his mother was his father and his mother was his wet nurse.
Yeah.
The Schroots were using wet nurses and the 80s, early 80s.
Earlier, but yeah.
Probably early. I guess he would have been more in late 70s.
Who knows?
Whatever.
It's the timeline is fuzzy with the Schroots.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have anything else to say about Dwight and Jim in this.
Well, yeah,
episode?
I mean, just that I love the way that Dwight kind of comes in with this last step over the top. Maybe I could stop by your house to show your baby a strong male role model. And then Jim comes in with the phone call, and I love the way that Joe holds up the one finger to take the call.
Yep.
And then Dwight has to just kind of walk back. See, I actually do have a And then he just turns around. And then at the end, we get Quad Desk.
Yes.
Which is, of course, and I love the tiny chair. The little chair is the perfect detail.
Well, for Dwight. I'm wondering when they wrote this, when Dwight's like, "This, that's ridiculous. This is made of three desks." Mm-hmm. I thought, why didn't Jim just point down? Because there is a fourth one, like, which is Dwight's tiny desk.
Yeah, that's why I've always thought that he says, like, rewatching it today, I was like, I always assume that he says, well, then what am I sitting on?
Yeah, that's what he should say.
Or something like that. But he doesn't. He just goes, oh, I guess you're right.
Well, then where's your desk? And then he could have gotten the call. Just a great
vocal delivery
at the end there. Just the, hello, Dwight Schrute, completely normally.
It reminds me a lot of in, I think the episode is Conflict Resolution in season two, when Jim prints out that gigantic photo ID for Dwight. This is humongous. I'm not a security threat. My middle name is Kurt, not Fart. And Jim just leans in and squints and says, what did I write? You know, he just kind of lets the moment play out.
Oh, gosh.
He's good.
We also have to talk about Andy and Aaron in this episode. This is...
And Reed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Aaron is... Andy and Aaron have just... What?
What's the matter with Reed?
The foster brother?
Yeah.
And her roommate? He's a kind of a creepy jerk, man. Nice skirt.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And then he's like grabbing her feet and like looks at Andy in that way. I mean, I guess so.
Yeah.
He sucks,
yeah.
Man.
I guess I'm reading it as like as like a sibling you've had your whole life. You're kind of, I guess you
don't
know.
I don't know. I don't know if that's his vibe. I don't know if he's being protective of Aaron. I think he's into her because I think it's, you know, the fact that that they didn't even meet until they were 15 years old or something like that.
I read it as he's not into her, but he's protective of her and he doesn't. He's like, get Andy out of here.
Oh, interesting. I always thought it was, he was kind of like he had kind of weird vibes, like kind of creepy vibes.
Yeah. He does it in a very weird way. It's true. It's not great.
You compare the fact that Andy is sitting in the big chair for the guest with his sweater vest over his tie and his kilt. Yeah. And then the two of them are wearing pajamas lounging on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy's just totally uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Formative years. But yeah, Aaron is sick. And we get the precursor to Angela. We get the precursor to masks with Angela wearing her monogrammed mask. Mm-hmm. And then Joe sends Aaron home. And then Andy does the same thing. He fakes it so that he can go home as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The way that he walks to his car and the way that it buttons the beep of his car unlocking.
That makes me think of Daryl after
Kelly breaks up with him,
or Ryan breaks up with him through. Yeah. He's just got that pep in his step.
That is the biggest swag walk I have ever seen in my life.
But it ends on a nice note. You know, Aaron is clearly into Andy and they have a nice date in the end.
Ready to kiss, and then Reed, he breaks it up.
I'm glad you're on my side.
Yeah,
now.
You guys, yeah, that I folded like a wet napkin.
I would say that the last kind of storyline of this episode is just the whole ensemble trying to get away for St. Patty's Day. And we haven't, I guess, Todd Packer's in this episode, which is also just makes it feel like a huge episode because he's barely in it. But
the embodiment of a party that you want to.
Yeah, right.
Oh, dude, Packer on St. Patty's Day. What a hurricane.
Come
man.
Meet
what
me.
What a destructive force I bet he is on that night.
Mm-hmm. Man, you can see why Michael likes him so much, though. Like, even though he just is like relentlessly, teases Michael. I mean, it's nothing but fat chicks. You'll do really well out here, or something like that. Like, I mean, you can tell that like Todd Packer actually really loves Michael.
We talked about Michael latching on to that offer from Joe as like responding to that sort of that little bit of outreach of friendship, you know, even as kind of an offhand, not totally sincere comment. I mean, Packer invites him out. You know, Packer takes him along. So it doesn't surprise me that Michael and Packer are friends because
he's booting rallied twice by 8:30.
I can't imagine that Todd has any real friends really either. You know,
maybe him and Reed are friends.
I could see that.
A couple of creeps and Gabe.
Todd, Gabe Reed also. And Brian can all hang out together.
Let's not forget Gabe's the creepiest out of all these people. Remember, he has materials to drug someone's drink on hand. We see that in the show. We also learned in this one that if Joe had a regular schedule, he wouldn't have to go to Amsterdam 7 times a year. He could get a girlfriend instead. So he's flying to Amsterdam times a year to go to the red light district. You know that's why he's going.
What? Really? Is that what you think? I thought it was that Joe goes to Amsterdam 7 times.
That's what I thought too. Yeah.
I read it as, because it comes right after the line, he's like, I could have a girlfriend. I wouldn't have to fly to Amsterdam 7 times a year.
Man, that's interesting.
I never thought about it that way.
My mind's not in the gutter, guys. Totally not. Oh my God, dude. I'm not like crazy.
He could go to Vegas. Okay.
but you been to Vegas, dude?
Oh my gosh. Well, anyways, I mean, it's really fun to see everybody out at the end. I love Michael finally showing up. Michael stands up for everyone, gets them all out so that they can go out and party. And then when he gets to the bar, he offers to buy a round for everybody. And they say no. And Oscar's like, no, no, no. Put your money away. Like, we're buying you drinks.
Around us. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a nice moment.
It's one of the more successful parties in the whole of The Office. There's nothing wow, complicated right. about the party.
Yeah, because we don't get to see it happen.
Yeah.
I love all the clips of them dancing and Kate Flannery is like doing yeah. like the traditional just Irish
one
dance.
Perfect yeah. day. Yeah.
How many times do you think Packer and Meredith have hooked up? Even though I think either of them don't think they've ever hooked up.
Right. I was just going to say, I bet they don't know. Yeah, they might not remember. Yeah.
Quick note, when we get to the bar, this is 2 episodes before... Is it happy hour when they go out to the Dave and Buster's place?
Yeah.
This is 2 episodes before that, and yet we have a shot when they go in, and Matt and Oscar are standing next to each other, presumably several beers in, looking friendly already, before they ever go to Sid and Dexter's. So I don't know.
Oh,
just a little...
so there is an introduction to this before...
My guess is they casually, without knowing it, you know, that either of them were interested in each other, that they just had a good time that St. Patrick's Day night.
Right.
And then like the next time it was like, oh, we're going out. And now Oscar's like, oh, can we make sure Matt's there? Mm-hmm. So
nice.
Yeah. He is visible in this episode, like in the background, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's also in the little town hall.
That's
well.
True. Yeah. He's in that scene as well. Yeah.
You guys, I know we're tight on time today. Anything else to say that we missed in this episode? Favorite quotes, moments?
I have three. Yeah, go ahead.
Just Kevin. I think Ryan has a life.
Yeah.
You know, he's so upset that he doesn't get to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. And St. Patrick's Day seems like such a classic Kevin holiday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got the suit, man.
He's got the suit and everything. Shopping. He throws down his cap. Yeah. Just Kevin. That's all.
Yeah.
Just Kevin.
Love it. Alex, you have a few?
It's just nice to win one.
Just a couple extra notes here that I wrote down. When Andy first walks in, he says, Aaron, go bra.
Nice.
And Aaron says, Andy, go bra to you as well.
Yeah.
Which I'm in Aaron's position there. I didn't realize that Aaron, go bra meant like Ireland forever.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron just fits in really well because it's actually Aaron, go bra is the phrase.
Saying, yeah.
Yes, correct. I love the difference when he's pointed out that he has a kilt and says, oh, it's my sister's field hockey skirt. A, Andy has a sister?
Yeah.
Never seen her. Never heard about her. Where's she on the family boat?
Hmm.
What the heck?
The Bernard family history is long and opaque.
Rocky. Well, and then I love at the end when he's like, it's a kilt to read.
Yeah.
That's just a very nice little writing move there. And then also...
Even though it's a field hockey skirt.
also, we have a different cleaning crew by this time.
They
come in
crew.
And the music's different. They're all like bald. sorry. Yeah. totally different vibe.
That's right.
It would have been funny though when Jim is calling Hank and everything in the cleaning crew, and if it was just those guys, I was like, does anyone speak Russian?
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't really have too much else to say. I mean, I certainly. I've experienced having to work late when the boss just all of a sudden doesn't want to leave. And that's a tough position to be in. Rewatching this episode, I just really enjoy. This is a really solid episode. It's thick.
And it stays under the radar. It doesn't it doesn't jump out when you're going through episodes, but it is it's a nice little episode. Good job. Mm-hmm. Good job, office team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we like it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
All right. Conference room, 5 minutes.
That means conference room, 5 minutes. No, 5 seconds.
Okay, just to start us off, I just have a small actually. In rewatching this episode, we just did our gym episode, and I always do a long list of AKAs for characters if I can. Tweedle Dumbass. I missed Tweedle Dumbass, and I'm just bummed about it. So
that'd have been perfect.
That's
someone said that we also missed Big Haircut.
But I got to go back and listen, but maybe.
It's okay, buddy.
All right, man. You tried your best. I thought at the top of the show, you were going to say, I'm Sean Roney, I'm Tweedledee, and then Ed was going to, I'm Andrew James, Tweedle Dumbass.
That would have been good. But we never coordinate those.
No.
And we never will.
No, you don't. Careful with those statements, dude. They're digging us holes.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But I don't know if you guys had anything else, because we were just going to do a quick Ordinary Things and then some trivia.
Yeah, we've talked about one episode characters.
Uh-huh.
Like, that was one of like the first conference room segments we ever did, and Reed is one of those.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, true. Yeah.
He never appears ever again.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. Good riddance. What a terrible human being.
Does Aaron live with, I guess she could live with him all the way until she moves to Florida.
I think it's safe to assume that.
Yeah. But anyways, Ordinary Things.
That is our building. And we sell paper.
This is when we just talk about ordinary things from our life based on moments from The Office. So I just wanted to say, I mean, this is a St. Paddy's episode. We are still in the midst of Corona lockdown, hopefully for not too much longer. But what would you guys have been doing today if it was not... if we were not all staying home? I can start.
Sorry. Go ahead. Start.
I mean, I was going to say, Ryan and I always go out for lunch on St. Paddy's Day to Elephant's Deli here in Portland. Oh, yeah. Shout out to Elephant's Deli.
Also, a notorious Irish animal, the elephant.
Yeah. But they'll always do they always have the corned beef and hash and it's very good. So we go and get a full Irish lunch. Delicious. And then I was going to say, I don't
do you guys
ever
get potatoes Orion.
If they have it. No, but I was going to say, I never go to Kell's in Portland, which is an Irish bar that like takes over a whole parking lot and has Irish music all day. And it's always like so crowded and overpriced. And man, I would do that in a heartbeat right now.
give me a long line. Please. Give me a beer token.
I want to wait.
It's just not worth it.
Yeah. Yep.
Totally.
I've got one, and this is not necessarily for on the day, but the Shamrock Run takes place in Portland every year.
Yeah.
There hasn't been one the last couple of years because of COVID-19. And it would be fun to be able to do an event like that again. I know that answer is kind of like, there's a thing where it's like, can you imagine marrying into a family that runs a 5K on Thanksgiving morning? And it's a little, that answer is a little bit like that. But it was a fun event, and I would love to do something like that again.
The Shamrock Run is very fun. They give you beer at the end and clam chowder, if I remember right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They do.
People always wear funky outfits. Yeah, that's a cool one. Mm-hmm.
I would be doing what I do every St. Paddy's Day, which is I'm up at about 6. I read the first half of Angela's ashes. I do about, I go to mass 3 times in a row, come back home, read the second half of Angela's ashes. I'm in bed by 6. A pious.
And that's how you sleep at night.
No, I like to post up into McMiniman's on, which is another local chain here. It's again, I'm not trying to go to McMiniman's most days. It's also overpriced. The quality does not match the price.
However, slow service.
What they do best is what they do best is ambiance, the whimsy, the general feel of it, and they generally have good acoustic acts.
Agent
playing
Tots.
Yeah. Oh, great Tots too. Actually, their whiskey sours are bomb.com. Yeah. But anyway,
Terminator
they have
style.
Kennedy School, Edgefield, wherever you want to go, any of the spots.
Yeah, great locations.
You find a patio where there's music happening. I'll just post up there, let one beer turn into 4 or 5. As the sun goes down, it's a beautiful day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I want to hear music.
Cup of sangria, bag of vegetables. Pretty soon, I'm ready to bed. Before you know it, I'm ready for bed.
I was gonna say finally too. I feel like in my adult life, I did away with the pinching for not wearing green, but I'm.
Oh, that's a grade school thing.
I'm gonna be all up pinching everybody next year.
You're bringing those extended toy claws, you know, the little
those pinchers. All right, cool. Let's wrap it up with a little trivia.
I have an ordinary things thing. You can tell me if this is. I'll say it, and then if it's funny, we keep it, and if it sucks, you just cut it. Okay.
Okay.
So this isn't really a prompt for ordinary things, but it's something that I thought about that it seemed to fit in this segment. When I was younger, I used to go to the summer camp for many years, and then I worked there a couple summers as well. Alex, I think you and I actually met there.
No, you don't think that. You know we met there.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out. And I remember that there was a counselor who, at like the campfire kind of talent show thing, used to sing Cats in the Cradle and Silver Spoon. They used to sing that song. And thinking about it now, like, that is the worst song to play for a bunch of kids that you're worried might get homesick. You know?
Oh, my God.
Can you think of a word?
All the kids who just, like, their parents just,
like, just think about
wanted
your
to
parents.
Get rid of them for the summer.
You know, it's funny you bring up that campfire, because I was thinking, like, one of the most Irish things I remember was we'd always sing Gypsy Rover during that campfire, too, and I would always sing it in an Irish accent, like, Gypsy Rover went over the hill, down to the valley so shady. He whistled and he sang till the green rose rang, and he won the heart of a lady.
I haven't thought of that in a long time.
Adi-doo, adi-doo, adi-day.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
All right. Let's finish up with some trivia.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home. Woo!
Trivia is provided today by James. Thank you, James. I don't know if this is James from sunny England, as he often calls himself.
James Trickington.
I think it could be.
Perhaps.
But it could be James Trickington. But here we go. Guys, this is a 9-question trivia. Season finale from each season.
Love it.
Ooh, okay. Nice theme. By the way, did you put James Trickington in Jim's list of names?
Yes.
Good.
Of course.
Thank you.
all right, here we go. Season 1, Hot Girl. When Michael brings Katie an espresso, who is just finishing their purse purchase?
Dwight.
No, it's a Kelly.
It is Stanley. Stanley buys a purse.
Oh.
Season 2, Casino Night.
Now I have 2 purses.
Season 2, Casino Night. What poker hand does Pam beat Jim with?
Full house?
Full house. It's 2 pair versus full house?
It's a straight.
Oh, it's a straight.
It's a straight. I love when Kevin goes, ladies and gentlemen, Jim Halpert.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Baumgartner. That's not.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Look, I have all clovers.
I suck.
Season 3, The Job. Mm-hmm, Andy says about being interviewed, I am a great interviewee. Why? Because I have blank. What is that?
laying on the charm.
I can't think of it. What is it? This is going so well.
My brain.
Oh, my brain. Yeah. Jeez.
Season 4, Goodbye Toby. What does Michael tell Jim he is downloading for a CD mixtape for Holly?
Dave Matthews Band?
What does he call the music files? He's very technical with it.
Oh, it's like very sexual music. Something it's, like that.
Or, right. What does he call an MP3?
N3P.
N3P. Yes, that's correct. Oh. Which I think, oh, yeah. I'm
Isn't
sure
there,
your
like,
answers
animal
are right.
sounds one of them or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Season 5, Company Picnic. When Michael tells Holly and AJ about his chair pants idea, what size jeans does AJ tell Michael he wears?
34.
That's right.
30, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
I'm so glad we got one clean.
James is stumping us. Season 6, Whistleblower. When Nick the IT guy says he's leaving, Stanley asks Phyllis what his name is. She gives two possible names.
Garth, Shadow.
That's right. Something weird, isn't it? Wow. Right. Shadow or Garth?
Yeah.
Wraith, Feather.
Season 7, Search Committee. When Dwight interviews as Jacques Souvenir, what does his resume say is the reason his last paper company burnt to the ground?
Oh, was it like
fire
revenge?
In the warehouse?
It was because I'll give you, they didn't hire a manager that blank.
Prioritize safety.
Lives and breathes paper.
Ah,
okay. Oh.
Season 8, Free Family Portrait Studio. When the office confronts Andy about his strange behavior when he poses as a janitor, Gabe walks in and says, "Happy birthday to Gabe." What does Nelly shout to get him to leave?
Oh, get out, skeleton man.
Yes. Yeah, all right, finally. I think you guys will get this one. Season 9, the finale. What food...
And Katie makes 3.
What food...
My delts are blasted. Oh,
touch it. All it's right. Like a warm pumpkin.
Oh, get out, skeleton man.
What... food is baby Drake allergic to that Ryan gives him?
Strawberry.
Strawberries.
That's correct. All right. Good job, guys. Maybe like a 4 out of 9, I'd say. James, thank
pretty
you
easy
so much.
Score.
James, thank you so much for sending us trivia. You can send us trivia as well. Email us mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. You can call us and leave us a message, and we like to play them on the show sometimes. 503-694-9314. We're on Facebook and Instagram, Michael Scott Podcast Company. We have a website, michaelscottpod.com. And we're on Patreon, patreon.com/Michael Scott. You can become a Scott's Tot for $5 a month. You'll get a bonus mailbag episode every month, and you can send us questions through Patreon. We try to answer them all, or at least get to one question for everybody. And there's always some other goodies that we like to throw out on there as well. You'll support the show, and we make a donation to the Thurgood Marshall College Fund. Special thanks to our Patreon supporters. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who helps us with our social media and designs all of our artwork. This episode was recorded in Portland, Oregon over video chat.
Thank you for listening. We truly appreciate it. It means so much to us that we're able to keep the show going and that people keep spending time with us, hanging out with us, even though we talk about, in this particular episode, we mentioned devoting our brain to office trivia, and then we totally beefed the trivia challenge. But we appreciate it. So take care, stay safe, and we'll see you next week.
Pippity Poppy, give me this oven.
Yes, sir.
I spent all day trying to make her like me, and I forgot to ask myself something. Do I even like her? As the Irish poet Bobby McFerrin said, don't worry, be happy.
Whoops.
Okay. Okay. All right. Best night ever.
What the hell's going on back there?